Now stay tuned for the Sunday morning wake-up call on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Now here's your host, Rick Moore.
And good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here with us. Sunday morning. Memorial weekend. Hopefully you're enjoying yourself. Summer reading, one of my favorite shows for the year. I can plan what to do to add to my ever-growing pile of books that I need to read. Our guest today, Lindsay Idison from the Northside branch of the Jefferson Madison Regional Library. Meredith Dickens, the collection manager. Ladies, how are you?
Doing well. Thanks, Rick.
Fine, thank you.
Lindsay, how is the Northside branch now that the construction at the Rye Road 29 is complete?
We are booming along. We are enjoying the new intersection very much. Our patrons can get to the library easily these days, and they are coming in droves.
Have you really noticed, now that the branch moved across the street, have you seen an increase in patrons, is that the word, and circulation? Has that all increased?
I think what we've seen the increase in is use of the building, because now we have small study rooms in addition to the big meeting room. And so the number of people coming in the building to use it for quiet study or small group meetings or tutorials, it has increased drastically. There are just a lot more places to gather at the new North Side.
So tell me about the new North Side. You mentioned these rooms. What is available there? Let's share with everyone. Again, Lindsay Idison, she is the branch manager at the Northside Library. It's moved a little more than a year ago. 2 years? Holy days.
Yes, we moved in March of 2015.
Where has my life gone?
And it was a whirlwind move. The building belongs to Albemarle County, and which is great, and we are tenants of the building. But we have twice the space that we had in Albemarle Square, so we have 30,000 square feet about, including, well, several new things. We have a quiet room, because one of the big criticisms of the old branch was how noisy it got.
Well, that's what libraries are about, right? Libraries are quiet.
I don't think the 21st century library is quiet. I think it is a gathering place for the community. But we do have a quiet room, even has a fireplace. And we have four little study rooms that patrons can borrow using their library card and sign up for if we take reservations for them. Plus, we have, you know, flex areas where people can sit. We have tables that have electrical outlets in them so you can plug your laptop or device in. We have a fantastic teen and children's room. It's really a modern branch, and it's wonderful.
And now it's easy to get to.
Yes, it is.
All right. We also have Meredith Dickens with us today, the collection manager. Mm-hmm. From the Jefferson Madison Regional Library, JMRL.
Yep.
And I asked this last year, but I won't assume that everybody listening to this year's show about summer reading was listening last year. What in the world is the job of the collection manager?
It's the best job. I have a lot of fun. I get to have a hand in buying all of the books. Mostly I select for the adult collection with input from staff members and from the community. And I help guide decisions on the overall feel of the collection, how many formats we have, where we allocate the items to all of our eight branches, and the bookmobile, and among the teen materials, the juvenile materials, and the adult materials. We just make sure that the budget is spent responsibly and that the materials are also maintained throughout their life. So the repair and replacement of worn books and damaged books, and when we need shelf space, how to allocate that. All those good things.
Do you have somebody there who repairs the books?
We do. We have staff members and volunteers from the community who are trained to repair the books. And there is special training involved, so we always have to make sure when a patron comes in and they say, oh, we ripped the book, and I just put some tape on it. We say, no, it's okay. We can take care of it. It's okay if you rip a page. We can fix it. Sometimes spines come apart. We can re-glue them. Sometimes a book is beyond repair. You know, it's lived a good life.
What do you do with it then? Does it go to the book sale?
Well, if it's still good enough that someone might want it. If it's been dropped in the bathtub, then probably no.
Dropped
that one has to go away.
Does that actually happen?
It happens,
I have the vision of that. Is it farmer's insurance? Dun, 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 dun. You know, we've seen that happen.
Yeah.
Dropped in the bathtub.
Yeah, or, you know, taken to the beach. We're talking about summer reading. You want to take your books to the beach, but they might suffer a little bit.
Or the wave came up a little too high.
Exactly.
Goodness. So Lindsay and Meredith here today to talk about books they've read and share as books people might want to read, as well as what happens and programs and events for JRML. For JMRL.
There you go.
I have to play it in your head sometimes to get it all right if you don't work there and see the imagery every day.
Mm-hmm.
Eight branches and the bookmobile.
Mm-hmm.
What are the branches? Where can people go?
Sure. So we cover several jurisdictions. In Charlottesville, we have the Central Library downtown and Gordon Avenue. We have in Albemarle County, Northside and Scottsville and the Crozet Western Albemarle branch. We have Nelson County, Greene County and Louisa County. Did I get everybody?
Yes, you did. Yeah. Except and the Historical Society Library.
That's right.
All right. So let's jump into suggestions. We'll do this throughout the hour because I was listening to the podcast from last year and I made myself a note in bright red. Spend more time asking for suggestions. Felt like I didn't do enough of that in last year's show. But so let's jump in. Lindsay, why don't you start with a couple of suggestions for people. What were some of your favorites?
I would be happy to. I can recommend The Badass Librarians of Timbuktu, which is nonfiction for those of your listeners who like a good nonfiction book. The author talks about a library and manuscripts in Timbuktu, which is in Mali, and what happened when Al-Qaeda came in to their country and wanted to destroy these priceless manuscripts from the Middle Ages. And there was one particular gentleman in Mali who decided to rescue them. And so the title is a little bit overly dramatic, but the story is very dynamic. Another one I'd like to recommend are the books by Ben McIntyre, also a nonfiction writer, always writes about World War II. And the one I read most recently is about Kim Philby, and it was fascinating. I knew who Kim Philby was, the spy. He was a British graduate of Cambridge, entered their MI5, MI6 service, and then he became a Russian spy for the next 30-some years until finally he was caught and unmasked in the 1960s. But they allowed him to escape to Russia.
Now, what is the genre that you normally read, or do you find yourself making sure that you read all genres?
I try to read a lot of different things so that I can recommend to different people, and I do read a lot of mysteries, history, memoirs,
history,
fiction.
History. Define history for me.
Well, something that happened in a prior period, like World War II or World War I or any
Is that
prior.
A fiction or a nonfiction?
Nonfiction. So I also read historical fiction too.
History is a mystery based on history that is nonfiction. Is that what you're telling me?
I don't think it's a mystery. History, nonfiction books are factual.
I was spelling it in my head with a M-Y-S-T-O-R. I was not spelling it H-I-S-T-O-R-Y. I was putting the M-Y part in there.
There can be historical mysteries, but in fact, there are a number of historical mysteries. But I was thinking straight ahead history.
Now I'm feeling stupid. So let's move on.
I think you just created the next great genre.
Created the great genre.
Yeah.
history mysteries. I was combining the two.
Well, I think there's an American...
I would only like a 10% commission on that genre.
There's an American Girl series called The History Mysteries, so you wouldn't be the first to think of this.
Oh, darn. Lost my chance. So you do cover, you do try and go for multiple genres, so you can tell people who come into the library about them.
I do. Of course, our patrons really love popular fiction, mysteries, and popular literary nonfiction. And so those are the main ones I specialize in. Meredith actually recommended a fantastic book to me this year that I loved, called The Soul of the Octopus, The Soul of an Octopus.
By Cy Montgomery.
It was fantastic, and I cannot recommend it highly enough. I knew nothing about octopus, and the book is so interesting, and octopus now are absolutely fascinating to me.
The Soul of an Octopus. That's a nonfiction book?
Nonfiction. It's by a naturalist, and she became interested in octopus and started going to the Boston Aquarium to meet their octopus. And then from there, she met a lot of octopus and went to the Pacific to meet them.
Did they go on dates? How do you meet an octopus?
They are surprisingly, we were talking about earlier about pets having personalities. Octopodes or octopuses have intelligence beyond what you would normally think. They can recognize people. They have interactions with people. And that's part of what this book is about.
They escape because they get bored in their containers. And so aquarium employees now have developed things for them to play with. Sort of like entertaining a child, except they're much smarter, I think, than a child. The book is great, and I highly recommend it. It's a short book. It's not a huge tome, and it's just interesting.
Librarians, Meredith Dickens, Lindsay Idison, as we talk about tomes here, or non-tomes, such as The Life of an Octopus.
The Soul.
The Soul of an Octopus here. One of the first books we're talking about here, 12 minutes after the hour. Talk about summer reading. A lot of nonfiction books to start the day. How do you find a new book? Now, the one that we were talking about, The Soul of an Octopus, came from the suggestion of a friend.
That's a lot of it. A lot of it is we are in the lucky position of A, being surrounded by books all the time, but also being surrounded by people who like books. And so a lot of our conversations bring up books, even if we're not starting to talk about books. Oh, that reminds me of something I read. And we are just constantly talking to the patrons and to friends inside and outside the library. And just being open to those suggestions.
But how many people do you see? I mean, this is my, I don't even want to say bad habit, but it certainly plays into the marketing role. And even at the book sale, and I want to talk about the book sale a little later in the hour, whether I'm at the library, whether I'm at the book sale, whether I'm at one of the bookstores, where I just wander the section that I want to be in, and I pull out a book, and I look at the cover, and I look at the back page, and I put the book back. And so I'm falling into the role of the marketing, or I may open the book up, and I read the front column on the cover, and that's how I'm deciding what book I want to read. It has nothing to do with someone telling me about the book because they think I might be interested in it.
We do a lot of displaying, which is sort of a passive kind of marketing. So if you come into Northside, there are books on the ends of all the ranges. Plus, there are four adult book displays that have themes to them. And one of them is staff picks. And I notice patrons go right to it. And the name of the staff member is underneath the book that they have selected to be there. And so a woman came over to me one day and she said, "You're Lindsay, aren't you?" I said, "Yes." And she said, "I always pick your books." Thank you. And we do a lot of lists and bookmarks and all kinds of displays to catch someone's eye. And then they come in. And the other displays we have going right now are books from the bottom shelf. to try to catch some things that people don't see because they're down low, and a book about summer, a display about summer activities outdoors, and then historical fiction is sort of an ongoing one that we always have.
The library also has a service, What Do I Read Next?, which will offer you personalized reading suggestions. So if you want to get out of a rut, or if you want to find, if you've reached the limit of what you know, I like these books and these authors, and I've read everything by this one author, what should I read next? There's a place on our website you can go. You put in maybe three or four books that you've liked or the kind of book that you like, and our librarians will give you personalized suggestions. And they might be things that you wouldn't find on the bestseller list or, you know, looking at the cover in the store, because they have done some research on what's inside the book.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Go to the...
jmrl.org.
Now I've made myself nervous, whether it's JMR or JRM, .org.
Mm-hmm, yep.
And I can find that as a tab on the website?
Yes.
Or a link?
Yes, it is. I believe there's a link from our homepage, What Do I Read Next? And there's a little form you fill out, and then they will email you with some suggested titles. And if either you've read all of those or they don't sound good, you can email back and you say, try again, and they'll try again, and you'll develop a relationship with them.
Now, that's cool. Again, our guest today, Meredith Dickens. The collection manager buying the books,
mm-hmm.
Lindsay Idison running the Northside branch, as we talk about summer reading and how the library system works and some of the things that are going on there and some suggestions. So we got some nonfiction suggestions, a couple. I'm sure Lindsay has many more to offer as we go through the hour. Meredith, what are a couple that you have to offer early on?
I have some audiobooks. I have one audio.
You can rent audiobooks?
Yes, on CD format and also downloadable. So you can put it right on your iPad or phone.
How does that work where I only get it for a certain time period?
Yes, that's exactly right. It'll automatically expire. So you have an app. It's either Overdrive or One Click Digital, which will soon change its name. And the app or your computer will just take care of, you get it for 3 weeks, and at the end of 3 weeks, it'll give you a warning saying you have to check it back out
again. Hurry up.
It'll say you can't have this anymore, but you can check it right back out or get back on the waiting list if there is one. So,
all right, so some suggested audiobooks.
Yes, so... and this book is a couple years old, but I was just getting to it in the last couple of months, is Americana by Chimamanda Adichie. It's the story of a Nigerian woman who comes to the U.S. to study, and she has very interesting insights, not only in her community in the U.S., but also race relations as she sees it from an outsider. It's a funny book, it's an insightful book, and it's the audiobook is read by the author, and so that gives such a great color to it. And then the other one, I mentioned these together because I see a relation, is nonfiction. It's Trevor Noah's memoir, Born a Crime, and it's about his growing up in South Africa. He had a white father and a black mother, which was illegal at the time, that relationship. And so he talks a little bit politically, but it's also just, he was a scamp. He was a kid who just acted out, and he has a lot of fun just remembering his family and how he grew up in that culture. They both, he reads the story as well in the audiobook, and I put those together because they both have an ear for not only accents, but how people use language in the different cultures, and that really comes across in both stories. So as audiobooks, they're especially great to listen to.
19 minutes after the hour with our guest Meredith Dickens, collection manager, Lindsay Idison, manager of the Northside Library Branch. Talk about summer reading, Jefferson Madison Regional Library. We'll be right back. Meredith, you were talking about memoirs. So I want to talk about memoirs for a second. When you go to the book sale, so let me pause and bring up the book sale, the Jefferson Madison Region. Is the book sale done by the Friends of the Library?
Yes, yes. It's a separate organization supporting the library.
Okay. So for those who don't know, last week's show was Bree Warner from the, a very long organization, but the tourism, Charlottesville Albemarle Tourism. And I should have brought this up because it's the book sale is one of my top five favorite things to do in the area. The book sale in the spring and the fall, a week-long event at the Gordon Avenue Library. You can go in every day if you want, but typically there's thousands and thousands of books, and it's not like you go in on Friday and as they're purchased it diminishes. They're constantly replaced. There's a one of those metal shipping containers full of books, and as books are purchased, people are coming back in with more books filling the shelves. It's crazy fun if you're have a book problem. But one of the things that I learned to enjoy is go to a section that you might not have had any interest in or never thought you might have any interest in. And a couple of years ago, I went to I don't think memoirs is what it's under. I think they're under biographies.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's correct.
But you can find memoirs in there because to me, biographies are these thick 800-page books on presidents and other famous people that are typically ghostwritten. And I get about 100 pages into it and I'm snoring and want to know why I bought this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's me because I'm more into fiction than nonfiction. And I don't feel bad because I have contributed $1 or $2 to the library,
right?
Because that's what all the books cost. But the memoirs are really cool because they may not be people that you ever heard of, but they're such interesting stories and tales about people and events in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And go ahead.
Have you read Hillbilly Elegy by J.D. Vance?
I have not.
Well, Hillbilly Elegy came out, I guess, the end of last year, and it's incredibly popular right now. We have a huge waiting list on it. And we just did a program about it at Northside Library on Friday. We had a University of Virginia professor review it. And it's a really interesting memoir. I think you would find it fascinating. He talks about growing up as a hillbilly with parents and grandparents. But he spent a lot of his childhood with his grandparents because his mother was fairly dysfunctional. There's a lot of dysfunctionality in memoirs, by the way. It's sort of a subspecies, the dysfunctional family memoir, like The Glass Castle.
Yes. So I'll look for that because if they're very popular now as sales, there will probably be a handful of them at the book sale next year. I think that's what people do is they sort of they purge their books when they know the book sale is coming.
The best kind of recycling.
Yes.
The book gets a new life.
That's right. How do you donate your books for the book sale?
If you're a member of the public, you can box them up and bring them to one of the library branches, except not the central library. I think that's the only library that doesn't take them. You can bring them to Northside. And then a library staff member who drives a truck packs them up and takes them over to Gordon Avenue. If you have a lot of boxes, it's best to call the Friends and see if you can make an arrangement for them to come and pick them up at your house. None of the branches can take, 10 boxes of books at a time. They can take a few boxes at a time.
I just wait until I have a grocery bag with handles full and then I
That's absolutely fine. And we give out receipts for tax purposes.
The Friends of the Library have their own website, which is jmrlfriends.org, and that has information about what they'll take for donations and where to take it, and also their contact information for questions.
And the dates of the next.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And one thing they're not taking anymore are any kind of tapes, so no videotapes, no cassette tapes. They're not taking them at all because they just don't sell.
What? How am I supposed to increase my collection?
go to Goodwill.
Goodwill. So the memoirs, fascinating way to, you know, especially because on some of the weekends, some of the sections you can't even get to see what you want to do because the people are so full. Go to the memoirs and check that out.
Sounds like a good suggestion.
Again, our guests today, Meredith Dickens and Lindsay Idison. Meredith, is there a way to, you know, finding books that aren't printed any longer?
Mm-hmm.
Does the library do anything with those? If I said, oh, you know what, I want to find a book like that, are you a connection with that?
Sure. So if we don't have it in our collection and we can't purchase it because it's out of print or unavailable for purchase, we have interlibrary loan, which is a connection that we have to basically every other public library in the country who's willing to ship a book to us for a period of time. So you loan through us. There's a $3 fee to cover the mailing, the postage. And if we can find it in a public library, they'll mail it to us and we loan it out to you for the same, you know, a few weeks as if you were getting it from us. And then when you're done, you give it back to us and we mail it back to that library.
What about let's talk about some of the events that go on at various areas. I went through the website and came up with different things, and sure that I didn't get them all, so Lindsay tossed some out as we go. Pizza and paperbacks. Do you still have that?
That might be. We have programs at all of our branches, and some of them are at some branches than others. So I'm not sure if I know every branch that happens at every program that happens at every branch.
Well, Lindsay, what are some that are happening at Northside?
Well, this is a great question. For the summer, we have summer reading, and it's not just for children. It is also for teens and adults and their prizes. And the grand prize at Northside for adults, and every branch that is a Kindle. So it's great to participate. And the interim prizes are books. So it's a win-win-win-win. And it's easy to do. It's a summer challenge, and you do 5 things on a sheet, and you turn it in. And if you're an adult, you get a book. You can select a book from a selection of them.
What kind of things are on the sheet?
Things like visit the library, and then challenges to read different kind of books, to recommend summer reading to a friend, to read outdoors, to read to your dog. There's just all kinds of challenges. They're not very challenging challenges. They're meant to be very doable.
I think there's one to read something that was suggested to you. So if you read one of the books we're talking about today, that's a challenge. Done.
All right.
Can I tell you about a couple programs we're doing?
Of course.
All right. Besides the general summer reading.
I mean, because one of the things that we're doing today is hopefully there are people listening or who will listen to the podcast, SeavillePodcast.com, who, whether it's people who are looking for books of their own, teens who want things to do once school is out, parents who want some books or want things to do, want things for their kids to do for the summer. So let's have some programs.
All of our programs are on our website. Plus, if you prefer a print version, we will have that out. It's called Beyond the Books, and it's a printed guide to all the programs at all of our branches. Northside does a lot of teen programs. There's a book club. There's an anime club for teens. They're doing a coding club this summer.
A coding club.
Computer coding.
Yeah.
The children's department also has an extensive array of programs, including all the different story times for different age groups and a book club for elementary age. And adult, we have 2 book clubs. One's just for mysteries, one for everything else. We also have, this summer for the first time, we're doing an anime club for adults because adults kept telling us they would like an anime club. It's not for teens. We also have genealogy programs. We're going to have some movies. We're just going to have a whole slate of really interesting different things, some craft programs.
And we have adult book groups at almost every branch, and we even have a book group that meets at Champion Brewing Books on Tap once a month. That's run out of the Central Library. So if you want to go have a beer with your book discussion, that's a great one to look for.
There you go. That's that may be my first choice. Not that the others weren't didn't have interest, but you know, it's like, hey, you got to start somewhere. Right. Let's start with Books on Tap. Go ahead, Lindsay.
I was going to mention another program that's been popular. It's called What's in Your Attic, and it's at several branches, not just Northside. And a local antique dealer comes and talks about how to make decisions when you're downsizing your house. And a lot of people move to Charlottesville to retire, so they've either been through this process or are going through the process, or they're the children of people who need to go through the process. And he talks about how to make decisions and then how to decide if something could be sold because it's valuable or should be given away. He also will look if people bring some special item from their house. He will look at it.
Purging. Yes, I'm a big fan of purging. But no need to throw it away or give it away if it has value. So when you're in a book club, who picks the book?
It depends on the club. Some clubs will have a joint process where once a year they'll pick their books for the year and they'll all vote. You know, they'll have a long list and they'll vote, or they'll pick, you know, several months in succession so they know what to look for. And some book clubs are more driven by a leader who comes up with, you know, this is what we'll... When the library is choosing books, we always want to make sure that we have titles, that we have enough copies for people to check out, or maybe it's a book that's slightly older, so if you are going to buy it, you can get it in paperback versus hardback. There are a bunch of factors that go into choosing a good book club book.
Our book club does it, the club members do it, as Meredith said, once a year, and they just did it for the next year.
So for the next year, all 12, I'm assuming they meet monthly?
Yes.
So all 12 books have been chosen?
Yes. And they'll be on our website at some point. I think the next few months are on the website right now.
Okay. I want to toss a book out there that I read that I thought was, because we've talked about pets. And we've talked about octopi. What was the what was the multiple?
Octopuses is a good way to pluralize that.
Have either of you read Lily and the Octopus?
I know of it. I haven't read it. That's about the dachshund, is it?
Yes. Quite the tearjerker if you're a pet owner. Lily, a dog with cancer.
Aww.
I won't get into greater detail about it for somebody who wants to read that book, Lily and the Octopus by Stephen Rowley. But you should check that out. But it is quite the tearjerker. But now that we talked about pets and octopuses, that one came to mind. I had that on my list.
Speaking of pets, have you read the books by Gerald Durrell, My Family and Other Animals, Flora and Fauna, and Birds, Beasts, and Relatives? They've become repopularized because of the television show, and they are hilarious. He grew up on the island of Corfu with his family back in the 1930s, and he loved animals, and he collected everything. And he had a very wild childhood, just wandering the hills, collecting things. His older brother was the author, Lawrence Durrell.
I haven't read those. Now, are they available at the library, collections manager?
Yes,
or are they,
absolutely.
As they become, did you have to go back and pick those up because if they were from the 1930s?
Were published in the 50s.
In the 50s,
but
yeah.
They happened in the 30s.
We did have actually a couple of the original editions that were sort of limping along, but when the television show happened, they reprinted the books in nicer, more contemporary-looking editions anyway, so we were able to update our copies.
I highly recommend them. They are very funny.
All right. Dan, are you taking notes on any of these so we can put these on the website?
I could also say that we also have the television series on DVD that you can get from the library.
There you go. Jefferson Madison Regional Library. More than just a book library. You can download audiobooks. Well, that's not so different from a library, but DVDs too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Music CDs are available, magazines, newspapers, free internet service.
We have magazines in print, and you can also download magazines through Zinio.
I read that, is this available this year as well? I found this in my note from before. There are Lego Mania.
Yes, we have Lego Mania. Most of the branches who have a children's department have a Lego program once a month, and we get that. It's a really easy program because you get
just brings the child in and says, yes, go play Legos for an hour.
Pretty much.
And sometimes they will have building challenges to, if you need, you know, a direction for play. But I think if you put anybody in a pile of Lego, they don't really need much to have fun.
There's also a Lego club that meets at Northside. So it's not a Northside program per se, but I've seen it on our listings for our meeting room. You know, the public libraries have meeting rooms that groups can sign up to use free of charge.
Really? So if I want to start a club that's appropriate, I can set up a, I can just...
You could call one of the branches and find out about using the meeting room at that branch. As long as you don't charge anyone to come to your club meeting, as long as your meeting is free, then, and we don't charge you to use the room.
Again, our guest today, Lindsay Idison. She's a branch manager at the Northside Library. Meredith Dickens, collection manager. She does all the book buying for the Jefferson Madison Regional Library. Lindsay, I'd like some more suggestions, please.
Good. I have more suggestions.
Fire away.
All right. I would like to recommend The Nest by Cynthia Daprick Sweeney. It's a family story. It's fiction. Family story, four siblings, and there's some money. Everybody wants their share of the money, and it's called The Nest. I thought it was excellent. I also want to recommend the Australian writer Leanne Moriarty. A lot of people are familiar with her books now. She's gotten a lot of publicity, but she writes a very entertaining, sort of woman-centric kind of story. I also liked Be Frank With Me by Julia Claiborne Johnson. I don't know how to describe the story, but it was a novel, and I liked it.
How do you not know how to describe it?
Well,
what's going to make me go buy that book?
We want you to borrow it.
What's going to make me go borrow that book?
It's about a young woman who gets...
And not drop it in the bathtub.
Okay, yeah, don't do that. It's about a young woman who gets hired by a famous children's author to come to her and live at her house and take care of her son, whose name is Frank. And Frank has some issues. And it's entertaining and funny in many places, but it's also a little bit poignant, too.
All right, now I feel the desire to go borrow the book.
A book that's popular recently is the Chilbury Ladies' Choir. It's a World War II story about women in a village in England who start a choir. All the men have gone off to war, and so there's a question, should we give up our choir? Oh, we should just have a ladies' choir. It's not a deep book, but it was entertaining and interesting, and it had a really funny scene in it.
All right, 39 minutes after the hour. Meredith, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, it'll be your turn for your next set.
Great.
Of suggestions. There we go. And here we are back. It's a Sunday of Memorial Day weekend. I hope everybody's having a good day. Enjoy your weekend, hopefully with family and friends. I'm with friends, Meredith Dickens, Lindsay Idison. We're doing our summer reading show. Meredith and Lindsay from the Jefferson Madison Regional Library. We're talking about what goes on at the library, some programs that they have, what happens behind the scenes, and suggestions that they have for books that we should take and read, or maybe give. Well, we'll do some books for your kids in a few minutes. Meredith, some suggestions for you?
Beat suggestions that might not be for everybody, but for the daring reader. I just recently finished White Tears by Hari Kunsru. It's a story of two college kids who get into the old-time early music collecting scene. And one of them is also an engineer of sound equipment. So they team up with a music company and decide to make it's not a hoax because they're not trying to, but they make a recording that sounds like an early music recording, and they put it on the internet, and it sounds so authentic, or they want to see if they can make something that sounds authentic. And it's all fun until somebody contacts them and says, "I haven't heard that recording in 50 years," or something like that. This book is electric. The second half of the book, it's just completely changes in tone and takes what happens next. It's a story about their obsessive collective and this need to get things right and the collective personality, but it's also about the appropriation of this early music, and there are ghosts in the music of what happened when people went into the rural areas and collected this music, and that comes out. It's the only word I can think of for this book is electric. I could not put it down in the second half of the book. I also really enjoyed a series of graphic novels called Manifest Destiny. It's the story of Lewis and Clark and their expedition, but it's their secret journal. It's not actual history. They encountered all sorts of monsters and paranormal creatures as they continue west through the landscape. Giant insects, minotaurs that are bison heads and human bodies. And so they're constantly at peril, and it's the story of their exploring the new land. It's just great action and crazy, creepy. That one's not for everyone. There are gross creatures there, but I thought it was quite fun.
Keep going, because I'm gonna. I want some more from
you
too.
I see you taking notes.
Well, I'm looking up a book that you reminded me of.
Oh, okay.
And I'm gonna try and find it on my phone.
Okay.
Because that reminded me of something that I read that I hadn't put in my notes, and I'm like, oh, and I remember why I was looking in the pile of books that I hadn't put away yet for books to put down to bring up today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, that's because I put that in my pile of books to keep. That's why I didn't.
That's great.
But I can't remember the name of it. I can only remember like one small part of it. And I don't know if I'll find it in my phone or not. So tell me some more.
Well, I also really enjoyed recently a book that's not like either of those two. It's a teen book. It's called The Hate You Give by Angie Thomas. It's about a girl who grows, African-American girl who's growing up in what she describes as the ghetto, but she is sent by her parents to a prep school. So she has two lives, one in her home neighborhood and one in this predominantly white upper middle class school community. It talks about her two different modes of living and trying to reconcile those. And it's a great story for teens and also for adults who just want to know what it's like, you know, in today's world dealing with some of these race relations. It was a great human story.
I did find the book that I wanted to bring out.
What was it?
It's got a long title. The 100-year-old man who climbed out the window and disappeared.
Oh, that was a great title.
did either of you read that?
I didn't read it. I remember that title.
I believe it was written in Swedish and obviously translated because I don't know Swedish, despite my efforts. And it's sort of a fictional historian history book. It's, I think, Forrest Gump-like. About a man, and it starts with him in a senior nursing home, and it's his 100th birthday, and he doesn't want to celebrate, so he goes out the window.
Ah.
And in his effort to escape, he ends up getting into trouble, and then throughout the story, he ends up telling his life history, which he continuously is involved in many famous historical events and runs into many famous historical people. And I so enjoyed the book, and it ended up making it to my keeper section of books rather than being returned into the pile that goes into the book sale.
Right.
Pile.
Awesome.
So I think that made it, you said something about how you couldn't put the book down to the electric
part.
And I was one of the ones where I ended up staying up until like 2 a.m. to read the second part of the book. That's what
it's wonderful when you find one like that. Yeah. I had been struggling for a while, but White Tears is what really got me back into digging into a book.
Well, this one, it didn't really, there wasn't anything about it that, it was just something that every page had something on it that made me laugh. And that's what did it for me. There wasn't anything poignant. It didn't make me cry. There wasn't any, it was just that every page had some part to it that made me laugh. And I wanted to turn the page again to see where we were going with the story. And the next page had something in it that made me laugh. And so I just kept turning the page, and suddenly it was like, where are we going with this story? And that's what that was.
Rick, have you read A Man Called Ova?
I have not.
By Frederick Bachman, a book translated also from the Swedish. And
I really need to learn my Swedish.
Well, I don't know Swedish, but it is a very entertaining story. And Ova is an elderly gentleman. His wife has died. He thinks there's no reason to live anymore, and he decides he's going to kill himself. Now, this does not sound humorous, but the book is, believe me. But life happens. His neighbors need him. People need him. He ends up, against his own will, because he's a total curmudgeon, against his will, he ends up helping people. And because of this, he gets reinvigorated about life. It's a very entertaining book, and people really enjoyed it, especially people who like The Rosie Project by Grant, which is a different author.
And again, Dan, you're going to have to go through and read all the, or listen to the podcast and put all these in the text, all these books that we're listing. So Dan Gould, the producer of the show, is being tasked with this. Our guest today, Lindsay Idison from the Northside Library Branch, where she's the manager, Meredith Dickens, the collection manager for Jefferson Madison Regional Library. Have, ladies, either of you read the Wool Trilogy?
I'm familiar with it, but I have not read it.
By Hugh Howey, I believe. I believe these were self-published in the beginning.
Yep.
Where he... it is a trilogy now, but I believe Wool, which was the first book, was actually published in small sections, and then at some point in time, it became so popular that all the small sections were put together as one book called Wool, W-O-O-L, for my slurry pronunciation, about a post-apocalypse community in a 100-level underground silo. And then I won't tell you much more about it because there is a second and a third book. That's what makes it a trilogy. Hey! But if you like that sort of genre, I recommend Wool, W-O-O-L.
Rick, have you read Station 11 by Emily St. John Mandel?
No, I have not.
That's another post-apocalyptic story. And it's really good. It takes place in a very realistic society, though. It's just like where we live now. And then there's a virus, and the virus comes and just slays the society, so everything falls apart. And then I can't tell you what happens. You have to read it.
No, when my wife hears this, she's going to be so mad at the two of you because I have an entire bookcase, three shelf bookcase that's probably 5 feet long of unread books that I keep adding to because every time I go to the Friends of the Library event that I just buy more books and I can't read as fast as I purchase. She's going to be so upset with the two of you. I'm going to tell her that it's all your fault.
Sure.
Okay. We take responsibility.
However, if you do get the books from the library, then you
I can
get
return them
back. Exactly. Yeah. And they won't take up space in your house for long.
Okay. So she'll be mad at me then. I see how you've put that back on
me.
Yeah. Okay. Either one of you who wants to go next with some suggestions.
I have a book I'm looking forward to, and I don't think this needs to be promoted, but Michael Crichton, who passed away several years ago, has a new book out, if not this month, then next, called Dragon Teeth, and I just think it's going to be super fun. It's he mixes dinosaur fossil hunting with the Wild West, and it's being called a romp. I'm looking forward to digging into that for a nice, light summer fun read.
When is the next Sue Grafton book coming out?
Soon. It's coming out this summer. I already have a hold on it. It's on order. You can place holds on order books on our website.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I used to make fun of her books. My sister would read them long before I ever read the first one. And that's, I think I read all the books through the library, loans.
Mm-hmm.
Again, our guest today, about 8 minutes left, and our conversations with Meredith Dickens and Lindsay Otteson from the Jefferson Madison Regional Library.
I had another one, Rick. You were just talking about, if I have a minute, you were just talking about liking to laugh, and I was thinking about upcoming books. Kevin Wilson has a book coming up called A Perfect Little World, and I haven't read that one because it's upcoming, but he did several years ago write A Family Fang. I don't know if you read that one. But it's about two performance artists, a couple who have children, and they made themselves famous by involving their children in their performance art, sort of like stunts, going into a public place and acting out something, and that was their art. And the children are raised in this environment, and they're adults now in the book, and the parents go missing. And they don't know whether it's yet another performance piece or they should really be worried about their parents. And it's hilarious. The characters are quirky, and they care about each other, but in an offbeat way. They did make that into a movie as well, but it was just a fun, quirky story. And so I'm looking forward to Kevin Wilson's new book. I am hoping it's similar.
Excellent. I'm really enjoying all the suggestions for what I can do next. And now that I've been reminded that I don't have to buy everything at the book sale, and I can actually get some books on loan from the library, which is, of course, the point of the hour.
want you to read however you get your books.
Yeah. That's a question that I have on my list is, how do you get, especially a younger child who isn't interested in reading yet, how do you get a child to read?
Well, there are a number of ways. It depends on the age of the child, but we can make some recommendations for things that have been popular and easily accessed.
If you've got a child who's 8 and a child who's 12 or 14, but I mean, it seems like you have that, the elementary school, and then you get up to middle school, and you've got that age range of kids who just, I don't like reading.
Well, we recommend audiobooks a lot when we have them for all ages. We also recommend graphic novels, which we have both in our teen and children's room as well as in adult services. And graphic novels are very appealing to kids who don't love to read. And we also have manga, which are the Japanese form of the graphic novel, and kids love them. You can try a lot of different things. You can talk to the parents. If the kids are younger, it's great if the parent reads part of the book aloud and gets the child interested in it. And then frequently the child will pick it up and take it from there. There are a lot of different techniques.
I also think you can let go of your preconceptions of what they should read a little bit and find something, even a book on a topic they're interested in, a sport or a game. There are Minecraft books now, so if they spend all their time online playing Minecraft, there are actually chapter books and graphic novels that are related to Minecraft. That'll get them into the act of reading. And then when they say, oh, this is actually fun, then you can suggest other books, maybe outside their wheelhouse.
Harry Potter.
Yeah, you wonder how many kids have been brought to reading via Harry Potter.
I think millions.
Something that I wanted to bring up, especially because this is 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville, for those who are listening. Something I found is, you know, we have some George Orwell that you can find, 1984 and Animal Farm, which people might find and agree is those two books being related to our current political lifestyle or current political world here.
And The Handmaid's Tale by Margaret Atwood is very popular right now.
Is it?
In book form as well, yes.
I'm curious if you have a book called It Can't Happen Here by Sinclair Lewis.
We do. That also hit the bestseller lists recently, and it was reissued. We have a brand new copy.
I read an article that said that that is the classic novel that actually predicted Donald Trump becoming president. So I'm interested in taking that out for loan and reading that.
It is available.
It Can't Happen Here by Sinclair Lewis. So, appropriate classic novels for the modern world.
That's right.
Another book that I read that I want to make sure, because I find myself wandering the young adult section, and when I go to the bookstore or even when I go to the book sale. I'm a big fan of Trenton Lee Stewart.
Yes.
The Mysterious Benedict Society.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a new book that came out recently, The Secret Keepers.
It was excellent.
Yes, it was excellent.
Glad you brought it up. It was on my list of things to mention.
Yeah. Well, we're down to about a little less than 3 minutes left, so let's toss out some more suggestions for people.
I want to recommend Neil Gaiman's collection of essays called The View from the Cheap Seats. Neil Gaiman, of course, is a writer for children, for teens, for adults, and librarians love him because he loves libraries, especially public libraries and librarians. So he's a big fan of us. We're a big fan of him. And this is a collection of essays, so it's on all different topics. Frequently, they're about authors that he knows and likes.
Do we have any recommendations for kids? I mean, the Trenton Lee Stewart book falls into the young adult section, but do we have any here for?
Actually, we have that in children's.
Do you?
Yeah, we have that one. There's so many, it's hard to even know where to start.
Last 60 seconds, Dan is telling me.
The Marvels by Brian Selznick. Thank you.
All right, Meredith, I won't put the kids section on you, but do you have anything left on your list of books to recommend?
I have so many books. The one thing I'm looking forward to is The Glass Universe. This is nonfiction again by Dava Sobel. It's about 19th century women astronomers at Harvard and the impact they had. If you liked Hidden Figures, then this is a good next book. I'm looking forward to reading that, and also just books about the eclipse that's coming up in August. We have a bunch of nonfiction, so that I'm sort of looking at astronomy for this summer.
All right. And Lindsay?
Can I put in a plug for our summer reading kickoff on Tuesday, June 13th from 5:30 to 7:30 on the patio behind the library? There's going to be a band and Kona Ice and musicians and all kinds of activities, and people can sign up for summer reading and get started.
We'll go out with that. I hope everybody's enjoying your Memorial weekend. Thanks to our guests today, Meredith Dickens and Lindsay Idison from the Jefferson Madison Regional Library. Ladies, thank you so much.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you, Rick.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
This has been the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. The Wake Up Call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Production assistance and engineering from Sean McCord and Mike Friend. Be sure to join Rick next Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for the Wake Up Call, only on WPVC LP Charlottesville.